Okay, so we're going to do tonight is the story about the burial and the funeral, if you will, of Yaakov Avinu. Okay? And I think it's a momentous story, but maybe not always noticed why that's the case. So, you know, you read through it quickly, you may not even notice it. This is what you asked me about the Garden of Atad. I didn't listen to what Rebbe had said, but we'll see how it connects up. Okay.
Okay.
Did Joey tell you about it or no? Maybe he was there for my speech. Oh, no, you guys are both away for Shabbos. I forget. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, so I want to start off with the Rashi. Okay? We'll start off with the Rashi, and then we'll go back a little bit. But this is the Rashi where I got started, and I looked into this area. I think it's a good place to start. So the pasuk is in Perek Nun Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, Nun Yud Gimel. So the pasuk says this is when the Shvatim, they carried the body of Yaakov to Eretz Machpelah from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan, Israel, to Eretz Machpelah to bury him there. And the pasuk in Yud Gimel says, "Vayisu osu banav arta Canaan." His sons carried him to Canaan. Vayikbur osu marasdei machpelah. Dot dot dot. Okay. So Rashi makes a big deal about the fact that it says "Vayisu osu banav," and his sons carried him. Okay. What's the big deal? So it says "Vayisu osu banav velo bnei banav," and not his grandchildren. Okay. What's wrong with his grandchildren? Shekach tzivam, because this is what he commanded them. Al yisu mitasi lo ish mitzri velo echad mi b'necham. Shehem yibinot kanan elatam. So you shouldn't carry my coffin, but not ish mitzri, not an Egyptian shouldn't carry my coffin, nor one of your children, nor one of your sons of the Shvatim. Right? Because they come from the Bnos Kanan, right? So the Shvatim, according to this Pshat and Rashi, the Pshat Shvatim married women who grew up in Canaan, Canaanite women, and they had children. So the children of the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right? They are children's mothers who are Canaanite, or Canaanim, Bnos Kanan. So he's saying, I don't want them to carry my coffin. I only want my sons, not a Mitzri, and not one of your children who are the sons of Canaan, right? Ella Atem, only you, my sons. Okay. So right away, why don't we keep reading the Rashi, and then we'll take up questions. Then it says, and furthermore, V'kabalahem makom, and he set up locations where they should carry. Shlosha lemizrach v'chein la'baruchos. Three in the north, three in the south, three in the east, three in the west. So the 12 Shvatim carried the coffin from the different sides. Three on each side. Ukasidra lemaso macha shel digvon nekukan. And then it wasn't really the ordering, the arrangement of the 12 Shvatim followed the way they traveled in the desert, in the Golan. It says, Levi didn't carry because he was going to carry the Aron. And Yosef doesn't carry because he's the Melech. He's the king. So you have Menashe and Ephraim take the place of Yosef and Levi. And this is basically, the Tzadik says, when later on in Devar Bamidbar, when they traveled in a certain arrangement, so they're saying is, this is the arrangement, the same arrangement that Yaakov Avinu set up for them in the desert to carry the coffin of him. I'm sorry. To carry the Yaakov's coffin to Eretz Yisrael is the same. The same way they traveled in the desert. What's that?
Where is that from? Who said that?
Rashi.
Okay.
Rashi on Nun Yud Gimel. Okay. So that's basically the Rashi. Right? He's saying this. He wants his kids, not his grandkids, to carry, because he doesn't want any Mitzri, anyone from Canaan. And then he says the way they carried him was according to this arrangement, which he set up for in the future.
If Menashe and Ephraim were not considered Mitzri.
I know, that's a good question. Why don't you say Menashe and Ephraim were Mitzri?
Their mother was Mitzri.
Their mother was Mitzri. They grew up and they were born in Mitzrayim. They grew up in Mitzrayim. So if he's saying he doesn't want the other sons, the other Shvatim, because their mothers are Canaan, then why is Menashe and Ephraim okay? Okay, that's a good question. Any other questions?
Who cares if, their mothers were
Canaanim?
They're still his grandchildren.
Right. Right, they're not Canaanim, they're the Shvatim. They're the grandchildren. They're not the Shvatim, but they're the children of the Shvatim. We came from them. Ultimately, the Shvatim, it was only Shvatim. But then the grandchildren, we all come from them. So what's wrong with their grandchildren? They're his grandchildren because their mothers are Canaanim. Okay, I assume they were very nice women. They're the grandmothers. Ultimately, we descend through them. So, what's the big deal? They're not just any old Canaanim, they're the wives of the Shvatim. Right? And it's not even them, it's their grandchildren. The grandchildren, the children of the Shvatim can't carry his corpse. Okay. And of course, who cares? Why does he care altogether? If I told you someone was making the whole plan and they die, who's going to carry their thing, and they made a whole strategy to think there's something wrong with them. Well, that's what you care about? Who cares? Right? Does it matter? Imagine someone planning their whole funeral like this. Right? You'd think something, you'd imagine, it's like as if they think they're going to live on and they're watching their funeral. Right? The whole Indian is hard to understand. Right? Okay, are we all good on the questions? Are there any other questions, or? I don't know. Yeah, I'm still connected, right?
Yeah. We just talked about what the meaning is that Yosef should not carry because he is a king. That meant, like, the present Yosef person?
Yeah.
The kingship was going to come from Yehuda. So this is just Yosef himself?
Yes.
It's not appropriate?
Right. Correct. And then, since this was the Koveya, since this set up what was going to happen going forward, so it turns out Shevet Yosef didn't carry, but rather Menashe and Ephraim did. I mean, there was no Shevet Yosef. I guess this is the way it went to turn that. But it sounds like the carrying in the future paralleled this original carrying. I mean, the camping and the Degalim, you know? Right. Because they traveled in groups of three Shvatim on the north, three in the south, three in the east, and the west. So it was the same grouping. The grouping he set up here was the grouping they did there. Which is also strange. What's the relevance? What's the connection? Why is that important? Right? Yeah. Take a random connection. Right? Okay, any other questions? Okay. So why don't we, let's go back a little bit. Right, let's get some context. Okay? Let's get some context into this whole story, okay? So, what happened here? So let's go back to, the beginning of... You know, the beginning of Perek, Nun. Okay? Okay, so basically at the end of Perek Mem Tes, Yaakov died. And then in Nun, Beis, it says Yosef commanded his servants, the doctors or whatever, to embalm Yaakov. Okay, and they did that. And then Pasuk Gimel, it says the 40 days of embalming was finished. And then the Mitzrayim cried for him for 70 days. Okay, the Mitzrayim cried for him for 70 days. Which Rashi says that includes the 40 days of embalming and then 30 days of crying. Right? So that's interesting. The Mitzrayim were crying for him for Yaakov Avinu for 30 days, right? Why is that, right? He's our, right, for Av. Why the Mitzrayim crying for Yaakov Avinu? We're not just crying for 30 days worth of mourning, crying, right? So Rashi says...
But 70 days or 30 days?
Well, Rashi learns that the 70 includes the 40 of the embalming.
Oh, the embalming.
So, I mean, they cried for 70, but it's 40 days was during the embalming process, and then 30 days is exclusively crying.
Right.
Okay? Fine. So why? Why they cry? Why is the Mitzrayim crying so much? So it says, V'shaba lahem bracha l'ragla. Because... they got great bracha because of him. Shekala harav, ha'yumeni l'smas barachim. So there's two reasons. One is that, first of all, when they had, there's supposed to be, how long was the famine supposed to last? Supposed to last for 7 years, right? That was the dream, 7 years of famine. But according to Rashi, when Yaakov came in the second year, it stopped. Famine stopped. Okay?
Did it continue that
term? No, that was it. So it was a bracha of Yaakov, I mean, brought bracha with him. And basically the whole famine stopped. So even though it was predicted to be a 7-year famine, it was like connected up with Yaakov. The Yaakov brought bracha to the town, to the country, and the whole famine stopped. So they realized Yaakov is a great man, or they had great respect for him. Apparently Hashem is reversing the decree because he's there. Right? And then secondly, it says that the Nile was blessed because of him. Okay? I guess there's a different Rashi, which says that when he came before Paro, he blessed him. And that's what Rashi says it means. He blessed him that the Nile should rise up to his feet. So it sounds like the crop started growing again. The Nile started, you know, went, rose in a very, I don't know, brachadik way, right? So Yaakov Avinu apparently was a great source of bracha for Mitzrayim. Right? So when he died, they were very sad. Very sad. They cried for him like as if he was their own. Right? And then sure enough what happened, after the time finished, Yosef told the servants of Paro, could you please let me, you know, my father made me swear before I died that I would bury him in Canaan. Please let me go. So, you see why it was important for Yaakov Avinu to make him swear. Because after all, it's not an easy thing to ask the Mitzvah to let Yaakov go. After all, you see, he's this like national hero. They're crying for him. He brought bracha to them, so naturally they wouldn't want to let him go. So Yaakov knew this, and that's why he made Yosef swear. And he figured that Yosef, yeah, Paro would be appreciative. And he doesn't want to ask Yosef to violate his shua. Okay, so by forcing him, by getting him to swear, he put an additional. They put an additional pressure on the Mitzrayim, on Paro, to accede to their request. Okay? So, and Rashi gives a whole pshat about why the Shvuah is so meaningful. But whatever, plain pshat is, look, he doesn't want to ask Yosef to go against the Shvuah. Yosef's a moral person. He made a swear to his father on his deathbed that he's going to bury him outside in the Canaan. So, yeah, Paro went along with it. Okay. So then what happened? Then they all went. It says in Pasuk Zion, Yosef went to bury his father, and all the servants of Paro went with him. All the servants of Paro, the elders of his house, and all the Zakenim, the elders of all of Mitzrayim, and all the house of Yosef and his brothers and his father. They just left their children and the sheep and cattle. Right? So Mamish, it was like this mass exodus, if you will, from Mitzrayim to go and bring the body to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And I think the Sforno says, Yosef didn't ask all of Mitzrayim to come. They did on their own. They just wanted to. They wanted to escort him, this last Kavod Acharon. Right? And who went first in the procession? Could you see who went first? The Mitzrayim or the brothers? So in sequence, it says the Mitzrayim. Right? I mean, it says Yosef went, but then went with him, the Avdei Paro and the Zakenim, and then, Mechol Beis Yosef, Echov, right? Like almost second place. So this is like a Mitzri procession. Okay. And then it says not only that, they even sent their chariots and their horsemen, It was Vayemach in a covered mode. It was very, very big. The camp that went on this trip was very large. Okay. Then they came to this place called Goren Ha'atar. And they, which is on the other side of the Yarden. And they eulogized him. A great eulogy. For 7 days they mourned for him this great elaborate eulogies for Yaakov. Now why is it called Goren Ha'atar? Goren Ha'atar means like a threshing floor of the thorns, something like that. So Rashi says it means because they're like surrounded by thorns. And he says, what does it mean? It says a drasha that they called it that because of the event that all the kings of Canaan and the Nesiim of Ishmael, right, the princes of Ishmael came for war. They really, seemingly, they wanted to stop Yosef and Yaakov from being burying him in Maros Machpelah. Ishmael didn't like it. Maybe he wanted Avram, you know, he wanted his Ishmael to be there, not Yitzhak. And the Canaanim didn't like it. So they're coming basically for war. But once they saw the crown of Yosef hanging on the coffin of Yaakov, they saw the royalty giving honor to Yaakov Avinu. So then the Mitzri crown, so they took off their crowns and they also hung it on his, you know, on his coffin. So it became like crowns, tons of crowns on top of the coffin, like a thorn, like I don't know, like a fence of thorns, whatever. Point is like somehow it's a reference to the fact that all the kings of Mitzrayim, the royalty of Mitzrayim, and the kings of Canaan and Yishmael were all basically paying kavod, hanging their hats on the coffin of Yaakov. You know. So this became like this international thing, right? Here it is, all of Mitzrayim are coming out, and all the royalty and all that. And then you have the kings of Canaan and the kings of Yishmael. This is like the most mighty, powerful, royal people in the world. And they're all giving kavod to Yaakov Avinu, right? And they for 7 days, they're mourning and crying and eulogizing. And then it says the people who lived in the Canaani, they saw this whole thing, this mourning going on. And they said, Ave Evel Kaveh Zeh Mitzrayim. This is a massive mourning for Mitzrayim. Al King Kara Shema, they called it Avel Mitzrayim Asher Be'Evel Yarden. The mourning of Mitzrayim, which is on the other side of the Yarden. It's like the whole Mitzrayim is getting displaced to the other side of the Yarden. So it's like a mourning of Mitzrayim, but yet it's on the Yarden side and all the Yarden people are there. This like this, again, worldwide international event. Right? Okay. And then, that's what introduces our pasuk. But his sons, despite that all these people were there, his sons carried his coffin. And that's what he's saying. I don't want to have a Mitzri or a Kanani carry my coffin. Right? That's where the Rashi is fitting in. So I think this provides us some context. Right? Provides us some context to what's going on here. Right? I don't want to have a Mitzri or a Kanani to carry my coffin. Right? And then it has that. So they carried him to Maros Machpelah. And then after they buried him, then the pasuk says in Yadalid that Yosef returned to Mitzrayim, he and his brothers and everyone who went with him. Right? And Rashi points out that now, on the way back, it first mentions Yosef and his brothers, and then it mentions everybody else. Right? So basically it says, when they saw the great kavod that the kings of Canaan did, when the Mitzrayim saw the great kavod that the kings of Canaan did, that they hung all their crowns, so then they basically gave kavod to the brothers. And they let the brothers go first. Right? It's funny though, because the other crowns were because of Mitzrayim's crowns. And then the Mitzrayim gave respect to it because all the Canaanis were giving kavod. Right? So it was a world.
I just don't understand that.
The Morashi is saying is that on the way down to Maros Machpelah, the Mitzrayim went first, and the Canaan went second. I'm sorry, and Yaakov and his brothers and his son, Yaakov's sons all went second. But on the way back to Mitzrayim, so then the Mitzrayim let Yosef and his brothers go first, right? And he's saying is the reason why is when they saw the great kavod that the kings of Canaan did, that they participated and put their crowns and the whole thing. So then they gave kavod to the brothers of Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov, and let them go first.
The Mitzrim people gave
them kavod. The Mitzrim gave kavod to Yaakov.
I understand the facts, but I don't understand the reasoning. Like they saw that the kings were giving so much kavod to Yaakov that they felt that they should step back and give kavod to Yaakov's sons, like that.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Something like that. It's not 100% clear, but it sounds like right. Because he was so respectable, and these are his sons, he's not just respectable here, but that he's like an international hero, not just for us, but for the whole world, for everybody. So now these kids became like front and center. They become royalty for the whole world, not just the Mitzrayim. Like maybe he realized that he wasn't just a Mitzri figure, but he had this international esteem in the world. So he basically realized his kids deserved great respect as well. It's not 100% clear. Maybe you'll be able to explain it a little more as we go on. Okay.
Maybe it also explains why it emphasizes that this is the cave that Abraham bought. Like, they're not marrying it in Canaan because Canaan is where they want him to be buried. It's like, you know, if we don't care about Canaan, relating him back to Abraham.
Which pasuk?
In pasuk Yud Gimel. Like it emphasizes, this is the cave that Abraham bought from the
Ashkenazi. Right. Okay.
You know why you have to say that?
Okay, so you're explaining it?
Yeah.
Because?
They're not just burying him in
Canaan.
They're not saying like, here's like a Mitzrayim hero, a Mitzri hero who's like a Canaanite hero, and we're
right.
Burying Canaan because he's a Canaanite. He's not a Canaanite.
Right.
He's, you know,
right.
His relationship is Abraham.
Right, I see. Okay, good. Okay, good. So now can we get back to the original questions? So again, the question was, why was Yaakov so concerned that no one's going to carry his body? No Mitzri is going to carry his body. No sons of Canaanim are going to carry his body. Right? Even the grandchildren, his grandchildren aren't going to carry his body because their mother's working on him. Right? What does he care? What's the big deal? After all, there's grandkids. What's the big deal? Why is it so important to him? Right? There's grandkids after all. Okay, so what do you say?
Yeah, I'm just thinking in terms of the way Avodah Zarah works, is that if somebody carries Yaakov's body and then something good happens to him afterwards, he would turn that into a way to like worship the physical, and Yaakov didn't want that to become like an avenue for Avodah Zarah.
Okay. Okay, but they're his grandchildren though. They're not only Avodah Zarah; they're very big tzaddikim. They're our forefathers.
No, I meant not that they personally would. Something like that, but somebody who's witnessing it would say, "Oh, this child of Canaan who is, you know."
But I mean, even if the Shvatim carry it, and then something good happens to the Shvatim, the idolaters could say that.
He is a hero, and all the nations are going to want to claim to him. You know, like every nation can say, "Oh, he's our hero. He comes
right.
from us." Like they're,
right.
you know, they're going to claim to where his background is from.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what did Aliza say? I couldn't hear what Aliza said.
I'll say it. Yeah. She's saying that here it is, all the nations are basically idolizing, or if you will, or giving great honor and respect to Yaakov Avinu, right? He's the hero of Mitzrayim. He's the hero of Canaan. He's the hero of Yishmael. They're all hanging their crowns on his kever. They're all giving him this great respect. He's like the man of the world, the father, spiritual father of everybody, right? Almost like Avram was called the Av Hamon Goyim. He's like the father of all of humanity, right? But that's not true. That's not true. Respect, yes, but he's not your father. He's the father of Klal Yisrael. Right? They can't claim Yaakov as their own because he's not their own. We are Bnei Yisrael. We are Bnei Yaakov. That's our identity. And it's not good for us and it's not good for the world to, I mean, it wasn't by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, to dilute the identity of Yaakov Avinu and to make the whole world the children of Yaakov Avinu, the offspring, the followers of Yaakov Avinu. Arguably because they weren't. Yes, they're going to give him kavod and they're going to cry for him for 30 days and they're going to eulogize him for 7 days. But are they going to carry on his ideology, his philosophy, his way of life going forward and teach it to the next generation, next generation? No. We are, Bnei Yisrael is. So it was important that while everybody's giving him respect, and he was a great, respectable person, it was important not to dilute the identity of Am Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael. Right? And that
I would
was,
think that it would be, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it would be especially important if he's being returned to Canaan, that it be clear that it has nothing to do with Canaan. In other words, his grandchildren who came from Mitzrayim is a different story, but it was nothing to do with any Kanaani identity.
Yes, but the Rashi also says, I don't want any Mitzri to carry my body. So, I mean, I know the Manash and Ephraim is a question, but it seems like he's, at least the Rashi is pointing out, he doesn't want either of them. He's not the father of Mitzrayim, he's not the father of Canaan. You respect him, give him all the respect in the world, he deserves it. But at the same time, his identity is not the father of Canaan and is not the father of Mitzrayim. His identity is the father of Bnei Israel. Right? And if you're going to have his grandchildren carrying his Aron, then the Canaan Zedis of these grandchildren are going to be, look at that, that's my grandson, my Enochel carrying the Aron. And they're going to identify with him as if they're Mishpacha, it's like one big family. And it's not true. We are the family of Yisrael, we are the Bnei Yisrael. And it's important for the world to know that, for them to look at us, Amamlachos Konev and Goy Kadosh, the ones who are going to carry on the legacy and the philosophy of Yaakov Avinu. And it's important for us to know that, for us not to be assimilated and just to feel like we're just a citizen of the world, because the whole world respects Yaakov Avinu. It's not true, they don't respect Yaakov Avinu like we do. They're not going to live on his life's ideology. He was a complex, high-level person. You can't just respect him and think now you're his offspring and now you're his carrying on his name. He's a great person who demands a certain type of way of life. So, given the fact that there was this international fanfare around the event, and Yaakov arguably knew this would happen, so he commanded before he died that this funeral, it would bring great cover to Klal Yisrael, but it's important that it doesn't just watered down the idea of Klal Yisrael, and basically undermined Klal Yisrael. It wasn't, in theory, it's a nice ideal to have the whole world being along with the Jews, we're all being one great nation. But it would be a great ideal, but it's not a realistic ideal. Realistically, there's an idea of Klal Yisrael. So, give me a second. Right, like just to elaborate. So it's like you have, I just want to make point out that, see, the way Klal Yisrael developed started with Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was Avraham Goyim. But at the same time, Avraham Avinu had one son, Yitzhak, or two sons. But clearly, there was a clear line of descent to Yitzhak. And then Yitzhak to Yaakov. But now we're at a stage of Klal Yisrael where we're branching out. Right, where it was not, it's no longer just a linear path, father to son. Now it's going to the Shvatim, which is to the nation at large. It's getting much bigger. And when it gets bigger, that's when there's a risk of it getting too big. We will get out of control, and now everyone could be the part of the nation. So it's important that this stage of the game, where now it's like, in a sense, Yaakov is passing on, and now who's the nation? The Shvatim. It's going from Avos to Shvatim, the Shivtei Ka. And now it's important to make sure it doesn't grow too fast and just go from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, the world. That's not realistic. It's Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Shvatim, and the Shivtei Ka had to retain their prime place. Right? And you see that it worked because when they went back to Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim let the Shiftei Ka, the Shvatim, and all their family go first. So you see that Yaakov's plan was that in the setting up the funeral, it would set up a clear, priority of the Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. And it worked, and they appreciated that. It was a statement to the world, you're giving respect, but you guys are not really the ones who are his ideological successors. It's really the Bnei Yaakov. And that was what was exhibited by only they carried his coffin. No one else could. So what about Menashe and Ephraim? Right, they were Mitzrayim. Some sense, right? They were born in Mitzrayim, their mothers were Mitzrayim, right? But I wonder if it's connected to the fact that earlier in the parsha, he basically made Menashe and Ephraim Shvatim. Right? Ephraim, Menashe, Reuben, Shimon, Yuli. He took Yosef and he basically made them Shvatim. Right? In the count of the Shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim, in many counts, are basically part of the Shvatim. So it could be that was, given that he did that, so their identity is an identity of Klal Yisrael. And that, like, kind of what's that?
I definitely say in the pasuk that they'll be like
yes, yeah. Yes.
If it's about image, how does it still have everybody? It should be about image. Maybe they, because they were in Egypt and everybody saw them as Jews, they had a different image than the in the time.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, vis-a-vis them, they're the Shvatim. But I mean, vis-a-vis other people, they may view it that way. I mean, it could be is that by the fact that you're singling out and allowing them to be carrying it, only them and the Shvatim, so it's clear like you're treating them as Shvatim. Like you're not letting all the other grandchildren, and you're letting, it's like maybe it's clear that you're singling them out because they're part of the Shvatim. They're identified as the, as the ones who are carrying on the legacy of Yaakov, Like, if you let all the grandchildren, maybe it would be the case. But since you're singling them out, so maybe it's like not, it doesn't, as you're not really opening it up to all the Mitzrayim or even to, it's just like they are basically, I don't know, something like that. It's a good question. I don't exactly have 100% clear. I mean, for the Jews, definitely it works because they know that they're Shvatim. And you could argue is like maybe the main objective here is for the Jews. But for the other people, it could be they just have to see that it's only basically his kids, and even of his grandkids, it's only these two select ones. And maybe it's important them to know that Menashe and Ephraim were greater than everyone else. They were from Yosef, and they're his, his kids, and they were singled out. They had this special role. That's part of the way to elevate Menashe and Ephraim to being Shvatim, was to make this exhibited to the world.
And Yosef also couldn't do it, because he's the king, and you're sure going to represent Mitzrayim in everyone else's eyes.
All right, maybe that's why, right? He's the king. I mean, it's not just a covet for him, but it's just, also, he is the king of Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
That's interesting, so maybe even there in his stead.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Now what about this thing about the carrying them three in the west and the east and the north and the south? The same way, this was the same way they carried the Jews traveled in the Midbar. Right? They carried his coffin, three on each side, and that was the same way that in the future that's what happened. What's the idea of that?
Too loose.
Okay.
But this was the first thing that they did as a group without
without their father. Like, this was the them at, like, the beginning of the nation, that this was the way that they traveled as a group. Like, maybe there was some significance to that.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so maybe let me just elaborate on that. But I think it's a good approach. But that it's important for Klal Yisrael going forward to identify themselves as the children of Yaakov Avinu. So this was like, in a certain sense, this event was the formation, the first event of the nation of Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. Not Yisrael, not Yaakov, but B'nai Yisrael. And this was the first one, and they would always reflect back to this moment. And the fact that he's koveya, he's setting up the way that the camps are going to be carried in the desert, is all their years in the desert, they're going to reflect back to this moment. This moment when basically the whole world was respecting Yaakov Avinu, and they took on the mantle of the ones carrying on the mission of Yaakov Avinu. So it's like, this, given that this was like a foundational moment in the identity of B'nai Yisrael, it became eternalized through the fact that the B'nai Yisrael going forward would carry in the same manner. And this would retain their connection to Yaakov Avinu. See, it's important for us to retain, I think Rabbi gave a share about this once, about the whole Brachas Yaakov. It's like important for us to retain our connection to the Avos. And the way that that happens is through the fact that we're B'nai Yisrael and we're the Shvatim, and there are these social units of the Shvatim. And we remember back to the way we all carried together at Yaakov's funeral. And our carrying today, or whatever, the time of the Midbar, was back to there. So it allows the B'nai Yisrael in the desert to keep their connection to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov through the fact that their very position of carrying was the same way as they basically carried Yaakov Avinu when they emerged from the Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov to the nation. So it's like, that's what I'm saying, this is like a momentous event, which was like the koveya, if you will, the establishment of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, as apart from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And it's like, it's the point where we transition. So we always remember that transition point, because that transition point retains our connection to Yaakov, and thereby to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So all the years in the desert, and us, when we read the Torah and we think about the Shvat, then we remember, it brings us back to this event. Yeah. Okay? Good? Any question? All right, so maybe we'll stop here. Okay? It's a little early, but... All right. Have a good night, everybody.